Sliwa. Boom!
The search for Common Ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
After the hour 12, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. You hear the theme song. It's the Mac Daddy song, and that means Dominic Carter is in the house once again.
You see what you've done? When you play that song,
yes.
Staffers are waving their hands, dancing in the hallways.
Yeah, waving their hands in the air like they just don't care.
Oh, now you're a rapper.
Oh, well, no, I'm not LL Cool J. I didn't get the most prestigious award at the Kennedy Center last night, in which the president and the first lady were missing in action for the very first time. So I'm no LL Cool J, although I would definitely knock you out. And years ago, I would have been knocking boots, too.
So wait, do you like his music? Because I know you hate on everybody. Do you like LL Cool J's
Depends.
Music?
Depends.
Okay,
Depends,
some of it you like.
I know he's a Long Island boy.
Right,
you know,
right,
that
right.
Pretends to be the hood, you know. He's all buffed up, beefed out, you know, steroided up. But he's okay.
I thought about you last night.
You did?
I thought about you last night. Having pizza with my son in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Oh.
A Nova Pizza. It was pretty good,
yeah.
And I thought about you.
But wait a second. You mentioned Nova Pizza, and I can't even look at a slice of pizza.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 9 days to go.
I'm sorry.
Before I go under the knife. When you get hit with colitis, ileitis, and now full-blown Crohn's disease, you can't even look at a slice of pizza. And remember, I used to compete in competitive eating
I
pizza
shouldn't have
after
up.
Pizza.
I apologize.
No, it's quite all right.
But listen, I want to say this to you.
Yes.
I didn't really know what your... It's not a disease, is it?
It is, Crohn's
okay,
disease.
I didn't know what it was. I finally saw a commercial about this on TV the other day. So this is real, and this is something that impacts a lot of people.
Yeah, well, it used to be thought that Crohn's disease only affected mostly Jewish people. It was a genetic trait.
Seriously?
Passed down. Yeah, that's the way it was normally assumed to take place in somebody's stomach area, particularly the intestines. But increasingly, many, many more people have developed it for a variety of reasons. The researchers and doctors are not quite sure. They can go in, as they're going to go with me, and cut out the ulcerated intestines that have Crohn's disease. But there's always a danger that it just continues on, and then they have to go back in again, and sometimes again and again.
So after your surgery, which is now 9 days away,
yes.
It could get better and then come back?
Yes. Yeah. Many people who have had Crohn's disease before have had multiple operations.
So like cancer, almost, in some cases.
Yeah. And it's all going to be determined by what they find when they go inside, because there's just a lot of damage in there based on the gunshot wounds that I suffered back in 1992. The hollow point bullets just shred out the whole stomach. So we'll see when they go in. Best case scenario is I'll be out a week. Worst case scenario, a month or more. And I'll be stuck with that good old colostomy bag that I lived with for 2 years after I was shot.
Now, hollow point bullets, the ones that you were hit with, are those the ones that, like, open up like a mushroom, which causes more damage in your body?
Yeah, it becomes like a rake. When it goes through your body, it shreds whatever's inside. So it's intent on bleeding you out but making you suffer as much as is humanly possible. So I got hit with 5, so you can imagine the amount of damage that it did internally. But you know something? I am looking forward to it.
Tonight, how do you feel today?
Horrible. Horrible. But either tonight or today, I have to go into Columbia Presbyterian at night to get a stent put into my arm, in which I will now be fed vis-a-vis IV, because I cannot digest solid food any longer without it regurgitating, without me becoming extraordinarily nauseous. So I welcome having an IV. So tomorrow I may well be doing the show while hooked up to an IV here. That'd be interesting, right? IV, it should be oxycodone, right, to ward off all the pain. Morphine, that'll be my cure. You talk about knocking out pain, and that's what I'll be stuck with, a morphine pump for a while to deal with all the pain. But I want to talk about you for a second, because in addition, Dominic Carter, to pizza, which I can't even look at anymore without getting nauseous, you consume an incredible amount of coffee. You're like always having a cup of coffee.
Yes, a cup of coffee. Yes, yes.
So now, when the studies first came out years ago, the coffee, particularly caffeinated coffee, would be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Could cause you to stroke out and have heart attacks, mm-hmm. high blood pressure, mm-hmm. the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Yet you continue to consume it.
You know why? Because 1 week study X says Y, the next week study Y says X. They contradict each other. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be happy.
Well, you know what? The most recent study says 4 cups of coffee a day keeps the doctor away.
Really?
And you consume at least 4 cups of coffee within the course
yes.
of the show here.
What will it do for my sex life?
It is not like Viagra or Cialis or anything like that.
Ah, okay.
So you will stay flaccid. You will not be turgid.
Flaccid.
As a result, that's right. As okay. a result of
flaccid.
Drinking. That's right. And based in today's atmosphere, in which guys are constantly getting hit up on sexual harassment charges, better to be flaccid than turgid. Because then you have a built-in excuse to say, that's impossible. I don't have the urge to merge. Look, and if you want to see my manhood, I'll show it to you.
So I'm I should be flaccid.
Yes, flaccid okay. as opposed to turgid. Okay. Anyway, our numbers, though, on these rebounding sort of back-to-back, belly-to-belly studies that suggested Dominic Carter would be dead by now for all the coffee he drank before. And now some of those same studies have reversed themselves, reverse osmosis, to suggest that Dominic will outlive all of us because 4 cups of coffee or more a day will keep the doctor away. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, speaking of staying away, front page of today's New York hometown newspaper, The Daily News. The Babe Ruth of Japanese baseball, Ohtani. Great pitcher, great hitter. Wanted to play both roles when he came over to Major League Baseball. Basically had to go see. Everybody had to go see Ohtani to see if he would sign up with them. And actually, the impression was, oh, he's going to sign up with the Yankees or the Red Sox or the L.A. Dodgers. The really big teams with the really big bucks. And Ohtani did the unexpected. Through his handlers, after taking everyone's inquiries, he basically said, I don't want to come to a big market. I'm going to go to a small market somewhere on the West Coast, so I'm assuming that's either Seattle, the Seattle Mariners, or possibly the Oakland Athletics, or maybe even the San Diego Padres. But I want to go to a small franchise, not a big city, in which I get to develop my craft in Major League Baseball without being under the electron microscope of people like you, Dominic Carter, members of the Fourth Estate journalists. Because it's because of journalists, they so intimidated the Japanese potential Babe Ruth that Ohtani said, screw New York, I'm going to a smaller market.
He made the right move. I'm speaking as a journalist. When you come to New York, you have to be ready for the media glare. You have to be ready for the fact that everything you do, especially if you're a member of the New York Yankees, is going to leak or be reported. Now, you have to respect what he's doing. Look what happened with, what's his name, Hideki Arabo?
Arabo, yeah.
Look at what happened with him.
The toad
that Steinbrenner called him. The man committed suicide.
Mm.
Think about this. He was paid very well, but Arabo could not deliver to the expectations of the New York Yankees. Steinbrenner himself, who I met a couple of times, he was always a nice guy. Steinbrenner called him a fat toad. The man ended up committing suicide.
Oh, yeah. Remember, when Hideki Arabo first came to the Yankees, that first half season, he was an all-star. He was a phenom. And then all of a sudden, he ran into a rut. And you had people claiming, oh, he's got magnets all over his body. Because he used to keep magnets all over his body. He's crazy. He's a kookalamunga. And it wasn't until he went back to Japan that he felt in his comfort zone. But as you aptly pointed out, he did commit Harry Carey on the mound in Osaka there as he was prepared to pitch. He took the knife, the 6-inch dagger, and he went, Hada! Hoo-da! Hoo-da!
That's not nice.
Well, he did.
But that's not nice.
I understand, but you're right. You brought it up. I just wanted to sort of reaffirm that. Hey. You know, Japanese always, hi. So Ohtani will not be a Yankee. And
Curtis,
actually, the other big news before
Curtis,
we came, yes.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm just trying to make it through these next 9 days, right? As the clock is ticking before all of a sudden I go under the knife. And I don't care if you're talking to me in Japanese, Chinese, Farsi, it won't matter. I'll be in Never Never Land until they wake me back up and put the zipper back up. But the other big news before we came onto the air, as if we didn't know what was going to happen, Mara, the owner of the Giants, sacked the coach McAdoo and his general manager, Reese. And even though Mara was all part of this cabal to take Manning out and to try the other quarterbacks, because obviously it's a losing season, Mara wants to remain unscathed, so McAdoo and Reese become the fall guys, because their next home game against the Dallas Cowboys in MetLife Stadium, in which Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie would have been on the sidelines with Jerry Jones, his favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, not the Jets, not the Giants, even though that's the home team in the Meadowlands.
But Curtis, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We all have shortcomings.
Yeah.
Why do you constantly mess with Governor Christie regarding his weight?
Well, I'm not messing with him today because he's actually won somewhat of a victory for all degenerate sports gamblers out there. New Jersey has fought for the right to have sports gambling in its casinos, especially Atlantic City and the Meadowlands. And now the United States Supreme Court will hear that case, which will mean if things play well for Murphy, the brand new governor replacing Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie, Murphy will have legalized recreational use of marijuana, which will mean a lot of money in the coffers of the taxpayers. And he'll have sports gambling to boot, which will mean a lot of money in the coffers of the taxpayers. And boy, you talk about somebody coming in for some windfall money that you couldn't anticipate, with Jersey being on the verge of dissolving itself because of its pension crisis.
Have you been to Atlantic City lately? It's like desert town. Have you been there lately?
Yes, I have. I wouldn't say it's desert town.
It seemed that way to me.
But I think the casinos are holding their own. But the Bellagio, that's obviously the best casino. They seem to be doing the best.
Your boy used to own a couple of casinos there.
Oh, you mean Donald Trump?
Right.
Why do you say he's my boy? You were the one that he wrote about in his book. You, he extolled, he actually credited Dominic Carter, my very dear Kumbari Cheech, right? He never wrote a word about me.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up.
We're going to be talking about Trump later on because he's at war, unbeknownst to him, with Barack Obama, the former president, because while the president was having curry in New Delhi in India, he was warning the world about the dangers of using Twitter. On the very same weekend that Donald Trump, once again, our president, was in a Twitter tirade against the FBI, James Comey, and the world.
Think about this for a second. The president of the United States is at a public war with the FBI. Think about that for a second. Think about it.
And the Justice Department,
right,
of which he has appointed Jeff Sessions to be in charge of. It's sort of like, why would you go to war against the Department of Justice if, in fact, you appointed the Attorney General, who wisely recused himself during this Russian investigation because
exactly,
he can't seem to ever remember meeting with any Russians, Kislyak especially. Anyway, up next, we're going to be talking about your favorite person, featured in the New York Post over the weekend, Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network. And I'm going to ask you why he can walk around with a big smile on his face like the cat that swallowed Tweety Bird, when in fact, on the other side of that parameter, we see that the Crust King's tax woe, the guy who's known for the Jamaican beef patties that he franchised throughout the United States, he kills himself because he owns millions.
Lawrence Hawthorne,
right,
I believe is his name.
And yet, your guy, Al Slim Shady Sharpton, is enjoying life better than he ever enjoyed it before, owing millions and millions and millions of dollars to the city, state, and federal government. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Get past people, get past the pit man.
Dominic Carter in the house, and as I was getting ready to go to Good Day Early Call New York Channel 5 trying to get it together, I looked outside and I saw the supermoon that had descended upon us. And I noticed that all throughout the neighborhood, the dogs and the cats were like going absolutely nuts. The rescue cats that I have in the apartment, they were bouncing off the walls. You know, there was Hercules and there was Apollo and Athena. And now the newest, the little kitten that we named Ajax. They saw this supermoon and they were going absolutely insane in the brain.
So it's once a year, correct?
The supermoon? No, actually, next year, 2018, there'll be two supermoons. One on January 1st. So when the ball drops, there'll be another supermoon. And then I believe on January 18th. So back to back, belly to belly.
And supermoon is defined as it appears bigger and better. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it's closer to the Earth.
Ah.
So it's about 14% bigger. It looks more ominous. But boy, does it have an impact on pets and women. You don't want to go near women when the supermoon is out. You think they can give you a hard time under normal circumstances? The lunar effects of a supermoon, they will want to scratch your eyeballs out.
Do you have this on scientific information? For example, I'm looking at Twitter right now. One of the listeners to the show, Keka Doodoo-Doo, posted.
Now, what African country is he from?
I don't know. He posted, "You almost made me crash on 684. So he's on 684 with that Japanese impersonation. So where are you getting this thing from?
Hideki Arabo. As he committed Harry Carey on the mound in Osaka. You mentioned it.
What is wrong with you?
I just replicated it.
Okay. So
Hamshu Tigers. I was actually at the stadium there in Osaka, Hamshu Tigers. I'm a big Hamshu Tiger fan. You didn't know
really?
That, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, yeah, because in Osaka, the Japanese, they got big mouths. You know, it's not like in Tokyo where they're all reserved, mm-hmm. you know, they keep everything close mm-hmm. to them. No, in Osaka, they're like New Yorkers. They're opinionated, great fans of baseball, and they love the toad, Hideki Arabu, the former Yankee.
Well, but that's a good reason why the new guy is not coming to New York.
Oh,
but in Osaka, I was only there for a couple of days. I rode the bullet train. And how did you get to Osaka?
The bullet train.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that bullet train.
Yeah.
It was going so fast.
Oh, I wish we had the bullet train. But speaking of bullet, it's a different kind of a bullet.
Wait, we forgot the woman comment. Because you said the supermoon, and you said it makes women whatever.
Well,
and I don't know where you're getting this
okay.
from.
Okay, guys out there know, if you try to have the urge to merge when there's a supermoon out there, look out. Because vengeance will be hers. That's all I'm going to say. But meantime, I want to talk about Yoakum Buttigieg, Al Slim Shady Sharpton.
I was trying to delay and get away from
that. I know, but... there was a big article about him and his nonprofit, the National Action Hate Network, in the New York Post over the weekend. He's doubled his salary. He's given himself a pay increase. He makes about 700 G's now. So
the board has given him more money.
Yeah, right.
Don't shake your head that.
Yeah, like the board is going to say no to Al Slim Shady Sharpton. That'll be like you saying no to Al Slim Shady Sharpton. He stays at the Carlisle Hotel, you know, in the penthouse. He no longer has the $20,000 a month that Bloomberg used to give him for hush money. So, you know, he's scraping. And he owns millions of dollars in back taxes to the city, to de Blasio, to the state, to Cuomo, and to the feds. And yet he walks around like the cat that swallowed Tweety Bird. Then we see on the flip side of that, the horror of the guy, the Jamaican Patty King, who made his Jamaican patties in the Bronx, taking a gun, putting it to his head because he owns millions of dollars in back taxes, including what I think are payroll taxes that he didn't pay, which is a serious violation. You go to jail for that. Except the person who never went to jail for not paying his payroll taxes for the National Action Hate Network was your very dear friend, Al Slim Shady Sharpton. How did he get away with that one?
Well, you're referring to the owner of Golden Crust, the Jamaican patties, which are pretty good. And the guy had expanded to many, many markets.
Oh, yeah. Remember Tiki Barber, the former
Giant? Right.
Remember, he used to be the spokesperson for that.
That's right. So it's unfortunate that he committed suicide, but he was also looking at the possibility of a class action lawsuit with the feds in federal court. Because apparently the allegation is that he was not paying overtime to his employees.
Overtime, payroll taxes, right. The whole nine yards.
Right. So now let's go to Sharpton.
Same thing.
Okay, wait a minute. Whether you like Al Sharpton or not, And we know that you guys don't like each other.
Hate him.
Can you deny that he's a national civil rights leader? Probably the preeminent civil rights leader in America.
The preeminent civil
yes.
rights?
Yes. Don't frown your face like that, like you want to throw up.
I thought John Conyers was. I was listening to Nancy Pelosi over a week ago. Remember? The icon of the civil rights movement who first got elected when LBJ signed the civil rights legislation in 64, right? You forgot all about John Conyers.
Can you deny, you're ducking my question. I know we've got to go to news headlines, but can you deny that Sharpton, whether we like it or not, is the preeminent civil rights leader in America?
Self-appointed. But on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Deborah Valentine.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
Hand me down. That's the bank. Now you're pumped. You got to get ready for the big payback.
The big payback.
That's where I live.
Ooh, it is so good, James Brown. Godfather of Soul, Soul Brother number one.
The Black in You is coming out.
Oh, but this song
it's
about revenge.
Out. It's coming out. It's oozing out.
It merges whatever Sicilian blood I might have in me, which makes me a Cheech and a Zip.
Wait a minute. Why every time I say black, you say Sicilian?
Well, let's face it. Your brother Hannibal with the elephants turned a lot of Sicilianos into speed bumps on his way through the Alps, so going all the way up to Austria. Come on, you know the history of that, don't you? That's why they got such a kink in their hair. When you see the Sicilianos, you say, wow, man, you're going to have to be using natural products soon.
Wait a minute. What's the kink in the hair? I don't get that part.
Well, they might as well use Afro Sheen.
So you're saying black people have nappy hair? Is that what you're saying?
Sicilians have nappy hair, huh? Come on, I've dated a few Siciliano women. Boy, you put your fingers in their hair. It's
I'm
like,
putting my finger in my hair right now.
What hair? Okay. You haven't had hair since since I saw you in that DeWitt Clinton photo of you in high school. But anyway, let's talk about something you are well familiar with. The family feud between the two Italian stallions that has broken out into all-out civil war in New York State. Between Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, and your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio. I mean, it is out in the open. They have both basically vowed to make sure neither one of them will get an opportunity to run for the Democratic nomination to become their party's candidate in 2020. But I want to give you some of the sound cuts so you can just see how the volume has increased, the intensity has increased as it's reached this fulcrum. Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo talking about the MTA and his inability to run the subways.
We are working at it. You know what I said? There is no we. There's no such thing as we are in charge. Who? One person. One name. Accountability. Someone has to be accountable. I'm saying I will be accountable for the MTA if you give me control to match the responsibility. Give me the authority to match the responsibility.
And then remember, Comrade de Blasio stepped right on him.
That's a fantasy. That's absolutely inaccurate. And he said earlier in the year he was in charge and he was focused. So let's be clear. You know, there's a division of labor. It's out in the open. Let's not kid around anymore. If you have a concern, if you like something NYPD is doing or you don't like it, talk to me. You like something going on in the schools or you don't like it, talk to me. If you like something happening in our subways or don't like it, talk to the governor. He's in charge. He should just own up to it and take this responsibility seriously and put forward a plan.
And then, naturally, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo fired back and said, yeah, what about all those homeless on the city trains?
We need to get the homeless off the trains and out of the subway stations so people feel safe and to get the homeless people the help they need. You do not help a homeless person by saying, we'll let you sleep in the train. That's not how you help a homeless person. That's Billy Boggs from 50 years ago. Get the person the mental health treatment they need, have the clean, safe shelters, and have the NYPD do what they used to do, which is get help for the homeless person.
And then de Blasio fires back saying, hey, don't forget, Without us here in New York City, pal, you wouldn't be governor of the state of New York.
I said the truth. I stand by it. The governor should think very carefully about the fact that this city represents 43% of the population of the state and is worthy of respect. He should respect this city. He should not try and undermine the efforts of this city.
And then, as if to rub salt in the wounds, you know, recently your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, said, hey, in order to ease the incredible congestion of all the traffic, especially in Manhattan, you know, we're not going to let trucks unload during the peak hours, you know, morning rush hour and evening rush hour. Well, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo struck back.
He hasn't been able to do that for 4 years. Enforcing the law now is a good idea, but I would have assumed he was doing that all along. It's not a city problem. It's a regional issue.
Both sides have vowed to make sure neither one gets the Democratic nomination in 2020. And it is all-out open warfare now. Dominic, you know both of these guys.
Well.
You know the history of their love-hate relationship.
And more their egos. This is a battle for who's going to be the top dog, who has the biggest ego.
Break it down in terms of how you see this playing out. Because de Blasio, he's term limited now.
Right.
He's going to be free to fire away a Cuomo who's got to get reelected before he can even think of running for the presidency.
De Blasio is pissed off that he's not being talked about as the Democratic nominee for president. De Blasio, and he's already alluded to this, and it failed terribly on his first term. De Blasio wants to be the Democrats' top choice for president of the United States. And even if it's not going to be de Blasio, he wants to make sure that his arch nemesis, Andrew Cuomo, is not the top dog. But the fact of the matter is, Cuomo is positioned to win, to cruise to re-election, and to potentially be the Democratic nominee for president. That would leave de Blasio in a no-win situation while he's term limited.
Right, but in a Democratic primary for governor, de Blasio, who obviously is farther left and more progressive than Cuomo ever was, because Cuomo, he's not an ideologue. He's just a pragmatic politician, whichever way the wind blows. Whereas truly, de Blasio believes in these liberal, progressive, democratic values. He could create all kinds of problems for Cuomo in a Democratic primary.
He can try. He can try. And he might, de Blasio might be successful. He can have the Working Families, as you pointed out earlier this morning, Working Families Party challenge him from the left, which has always been Cuomo's Achilles heel. But I would urge Mayor de Blasio, one, he's got to lower the decibel in terms of his ego. That's number one. He cruised to reelection, but when he says respect the people of New York, 43% of the state resides in New York, he doesn't really care about the people of New York. What he's really saying is respect me. Treat me with enormous respect. These guys are never going to like each other. And let's look at the historical impact of this. Mayors and governors feuding of New York is nothing new. Look at Cuomo and Ed Koch. Look at how Pataki was treated by Giuliani. You know, when Pataki wanted to run and Giuliani endorsed, wanted to go with the Democrat when he first ran
with Cuomo.
That's right. And he left Pataki sitting in at City Hall by himself.
Yes.
These tensions are nothing new. It's just that these two take it to a whole new level.
Well, let's do this. Since the big story coming out of New Jersey is that Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, may get his wish, the United States Supreme Court will actually take up the subject of sports betting to be legal in Jersey and other states. When you do sports betting, you can also bet on politics like they do in England, you know, on who's going to win elections. If you were a betting man or betting woman out there, where would you put your lira, your euros, your shekels, your pecunia? Would you put it on the nose of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo to win this civil war or on Comrade Bill de Blasio? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
I take all my marbles. I take the mortgage from my home. I take my grandson's college fund. I slide it all over to the side of Andrew Cuomo.
Why? Why so heavily would you do an over-under point spread in favor of Andrew Cuomo?
Because when you take on Andrew Cuomo, you better catch the early bus to work. He is a very smart politician. And yes, I'm implying that politically he's much smarter than de Blasio is. De Blasio, there's no other way to say this. He's a weak mayor, and he's not very well liked by the constituents. So he cruised to re-election, but it's a Democratic city. What's next for de Blasio? That's what he's trying to figure out. Where does he go from here? He can't go to the Senate. You've got Schumer and Gillibrand. Where does de Blasio go? He's got to gear up for another race. What does he do?
Run for the presidency of the United States.
Are you serious?
Well, he's out.
Are you smoking?
He's out there.
Are you serious?
He's out there slopping the hogs in
Iowa. Bill de Blasio for president of the United States?
Oh, I didn't say he could win. But
I don't even see him as a contender.
Doesn't matter in those initial rounds of a primary, right, when there's a crowded field and there'll be lots of Democrats.
Look at what Hillary did to him in Iowa. De Blasio held out his endorsement. I know you remember when de Blasio went out there to Iowa and she said, I'm not even going to be on the same stage with you. De Blasio with the New York Press Corps was left to go knock on doors by himself seeking endorsements for Hillary Clinton.
And I understand that you were holding his bag at the time as you were following him in hot pursuit of getting an exclusive story of why in Iowa there are more pigs than people. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Larry first up in the queue, calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Larry?
Hey, Curtis. Best of luck with the surgery. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Larry.
Before I go further with who's going to win, no hands. Hands, that'll be Cuomo. But, Dominic, I think I have a new theme song that should be changed for you.
Go ahead. What is it?
It should be James Brown, Living in America.
Why James Brown, Living in America?
Because you're a good American. You're a true American.
Ah, okay. Someone recommended a few weeks ago the theme song from Shaft. What song is that again?
Shaft. You're right. A bad right. Mother. Watch your mouth.
You're in the middle. You're in the mood for impersonations.
Isaac Hayes, right?
Right.
Isaac Hayes. So you think,
hey, Larry, what do you think of Shaft? What's the name of the song again?
Shaft, the bad mother.
Okay, Larry, what do you think about that?
Richard Durant, yeah, Shaft is good. Got nice tone, nice ring. It's uppity. It'd be good.
Or what about for you, Superfly TNT, right?
Superfly TNT.
Yeah, Superfly TNT. Now, you don't have the hair. You don't look like a greasy-headed pimp looked back in the 70s during those black exploitation movies. But I'm saying, wait a second, Larry. Let's see if this should be Dominic Carter's new theme song. All right, ladies and gentlemen, should it be Living in America by Godfather of Soul, Soul Brother number one, James Brown? Or should it be the theme song that I bestowed upon Dominic Carter,
I like
the Mac Daddy song?
I like yours.
Well, let's find out from our listeners. Let's go to the people. It's democracy speaking here at WABC. 1-800-848-WABC. I feel like Don Cornelius on Soul Train.
What is wrong with you?
1-800-848-9222. It's the oxycodone kicking in, man, because this pain is killing me.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Looking for a possible replacement of your Mac Daddy theme song, Dominic Carter.
I like Mac Daddy.
Anyway,
I like that.
Let's see what Walter in New Jersey suggests here at WABC. Welcome, Walter.
Yeah, the time has come today by the Chambers Brothers. Always relevant.
The time has come
today. We don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's got potential.
Mm.
Oh, the rules have changed today.
Come on, man.
Mm.
Dominic.
Mm.
You see, this is...
I respect Walter.
Walter, this is good, Walter. This is very good.
Mm.
All right.
I am proud of our audience coming up with these suggestions.
Mm.
This is dynamic. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Tom, who's calling from Matza Pizza. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Tommy?
I love your show. The both of you guys are great. Dominic, mainly a question for you. Supposing the Statue Commission comes up with a recommendation and everybody insists on it that the statue of Christopher Columbus must go, will also the most terrible thing Christopher Columbus introduced to the New World was the Spanish language. Will that have to go too?
No, and I don't think the statue of Christopher Columbus will go. I think whenever you hear a politician say we're going to commission a panel, that means I'm running for a political cover. Let me get through the election, and we'll deal with it at a later time.
But wait a second. The guy who's the head of the commission. Dedeo. Your guy, Harry Belafonte.
Oh, that is my guy.
I hate all white people.
No, that's not true.
Oh, come on, man.
Mr. Belafonte does not have a position. He doesn't hate all white people.
He doesn't even know he's Mr. Belafonte any longer.
He's sharper than most people would imagine.
Oh, sure.
No, for real.
You keep thinking that. But anyway, let's go to Giuseppe. Joe's calling from Hamilton. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Giuseppe.
All right, guys. It's a pleasure to be here on the legendary WABC in New York City. I got an opinion about what Dominic's theme song should be.
Well...
All right. I think it should be the one that you bestowed upon him in the first place, Curtis. I think it stands. To me, living in America, everybody's done it on every radio station, every TV show. I say keep the one that you gave him.
All right. Well, Rochelle, let's check it out again. All right. Oh, yeah.
Joe might be right.
Mark Morrison here. Return of the Mac.
Joe might be right. But I do, I mean...
Because you are Mac Daddy.
But I do like the Shaft with the part where he says, I think no one could touch him but his woman. Is that what he
said? You a bad mother. Watch your mouth.
What is wrong with you?
It's Isaac Hayes, man. Scientologist. You know, I'm just riffing here.
Did you take your medication?
Yes. I had to take an Oxy.
Oh, okay.
Because the pain is, like, killing me. It's kicking. But you know something? This song...
Yes.
Has a groove to it that can just get me through till 3 o'clock.
Wow.
That's right, Dominic Carter.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one. Remember when this was on your playlist on your iPod?
Oh, really?
The Obama girl singing allegiance to your president, Barack Obama. Remember that, Dominic?
Wait, why is he my president?
Well, he was the first black president, right?
Right. So that means he's naturally my president?
Well, you would have a natural inclination to be supportive of somebody who rose up through the ranks, did not come from a pedigree, was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth big enough to offset the trade balance between Red China and the United States. So I would think you would have been leaning in. I can't see you as a McCain guy or a Romney guy.
Well, so then can I make the assumption that that's why you supported Rudy so much? And
oh, Rudy was my boy, but he crashed and burned in Florida. You remember, he couldn't get beyond 9/11.
Oh.
But he did. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you with the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. The reason that I played that old jam about Barack Obama is that he resurfaced as a sage to warn not just our present president, Donald Trump, but everyone out there about the dangers of technology. And it couldn't have come at a better time because over this weekend, the president, again, was engaged in a Twitter tirade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was against Comey. It was against the FBI. It was against the Justice Department. It was against all comers. And in fact, this is what the president said earlier today as he just ratcheted up what he had been twittering about all weekend.
Hillary Clinton, on the 4th of July weekend, went to the FBI, not under oath. It was the most incredible thing anyone's ever seen. She lied many times. Nothing happened to her. Flynn lied, and it's like they ruined his life. It's very unfair.
And so the president just will not stop. The Twitter is going like nonstop.
So let me make sure I got this right based on what the president said. So Hillary Clinton and her lawyers got to determine how the FBI would question her. She got to make that decision. So Hillary Clinton, in the middle of a presidential race, said, oh, I'll sit down and talk to you, FBI. She got to decide that it was that she was not sworn in, based on what the president says.
Well, that and the fact Comey never bothered to interrogate her. They didn't record the interrogation of her. And as you know, they gave many of her surrogates a pass, basically let them take their laptops back.
Right. But okay, but isn't it Comey that cost Hillary Clinton the election?
Well, let's ask.
And she basically said that herself.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners on that, because clearly the president has decided to make this the issue of the day. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, meantime, far off in the nation of India, while taking a lotus position, while sitting amongst the honored and the elders of the Hindu community in an ashram outside of Pondicherry, the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, was lecturing to the masses. It was about 100,000 of the local Indian people who had assembled to hear the great American orator. As the Hindu god Ganesh was peering down on him, the god of new beginnings, and the former president decided, as a sage, to give advice not only to this president, Donald Trump, but to the world about this new technological device that you use on a regular basis, Dominic Carter, and so many other use, Twitter.
You see and people getting into all kinds of trouble because they just send out some tweet and then they're trying to erase it afterwards. But somebody's screenshot it and then they're embarrassed. You know, your mother and your father knew better. Listen to them. Don't do things like that. Think before you speak. Think before you tweet. Same principle.
Think before you tweet. That's something I don't think our present president does, Donald Trump. I think he just goes based on instinct. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Dominic Carter, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you sent something out and you said, oops, I wish I would have restrained myself before tweeting that out?
No.
Or retweeting something.
No, because you and I are in positions of being before the public, and so we better think before we act. But that's something that they teach you in counseling. That's one of the first things they teach you. And when you sit down and think about it, it's deep. The work, because Obama delivered this speech in India on Friday. The president issued his tweets Friday evening and Saturday, the tweets that got him in trouble, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But think about it. Think before you act. Really think about that. Most of us react first, and we think that we're acting right based on we feel that we were wronged. And so that's what the president of the United States of America is doing in this case.
And it's not just sending out your initial thoughts on something. It's oftentimes just retweeting what somebody has said to you without fully analyzing it. Like, what was the source of this? Is this real? Is this Photoshop?
And now that's why his trip in Britain is up. The president is up in the air because he's, like you said, he simply retweeted Britain first.
Could I hear that? The sage again in his lotus position, the former president of the United States, as he spoke in that ashram outside of Pondicherry with the Hindu god Ganesh peering down on him. His advice to President Trump, and I want to see if this floats with all of you out there.
You see and people getting into all kinds of trouble because they just send out some tweet and then they're trying to erase it afterwards. But somebody's screenshot it and then they're embarrassed. You know, your mother and your father knew better. Listen to them. Don't do things like that. Think before you speak. Think before you tweet. Same principle.
And then, as the president was launching his Twitter tirade against Comey, who did respond, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina warned the president about his tweets.
Just say this to the president. There's an ongoing criminal investigation. Comey may be part of it. You tweet and comment regarding ongoing criminal investigations at your own peril.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Karen first up in the queue from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Karen?
Hi, thank you. President Trump was exactly right when he tweeted that. That is very true. There is so much evidence now, much more evidence, against Hillary Clinton. And I don't see anything being done about it. And we are supposed to be a nation of laws.
Karen, with all due respect, so you're telling me it's President Hillary Clinton. That's the current president of the United States?
President?
Right, President Hillary Clinton.
God, even the sound of that makes me want to retch.
Yeah, me too. It makes me nauseous.
Right, Karen?
Okay, but Karen.
She should be in jail. Do you know what she did?
Okay, but Karen. Let's assume she's guilty of everything you said, for argument's sake. Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States. Donald Trump is.
But she once stole the FBI files. I think she has evidence, blackmailing the FBI agents.
Okay, Karen. Again, let's say you're right on everything you've said. Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States. Donald Trump is.
What does that have to do with it? She is a criminal. Why isn't she being, nothing is being done about it.
Karen, hold on a second.
Everyone wants something done about her.
But Karen, now that you've become nauseous, could you say that again?
President Hillary Clinton.
I'm nauseous now.
No, please don't do it.
Here's the antidote. Here's the antidote, Karen.
Lock her up. You guys are good. Damn right. You're exactly right. There's nothing wrong with that. You know why we're saying that? We're saying that because if I, a guy who knows this business, if I did a tenth of what she did, I would be in jail today.
You see, that was Lieutenant General Flynn when he used to warm up the crowd for Trump in the campaign.
Be careful what you wish for.
Let's go to Eel, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Eel.
Yes, hi. How are you, Curtis?
Oh, I've had much better days.
Yeah, right? Anyway, I spoke to you guys before. I'd like to make a comment regarding that, what President Obama advises President Trump. So, on a big picture, I do agree that I voted for Donald Trump, but I do agree that he happened to be a little stupid sometimes. But altogether, I know he does have some very, I don't know how to put it. He does get, ahead of himself sometimes. But I would like to comment regarding what Obama said. I don't think that President Obama, he had 8 years to be a president, which he wasn't. He weakened America. He's anything but a leader. He could have probably been a great professor in some university. But for him to come and give advice, he sits on the side, he goes to wherever he's been invited to come in and give it all kind of a speech in about how great things should be. He had 8 years to do so, and he messed it up.
Yeah, but he's doing what all former presidents do. He goes out there, he gets paid a lot of money to give speeches. And the Hindus were waiting for his sage-like advice. He decided to basically provide some advice to the president. I would have just said, cut to the chase. Chief of Staff Kelly, just fit the president with Chinese finger traps when he goes to sleep at night. And then, unburden him of that at some point during the day. Because the Twitter account of the president is what starts the day off. It sets off the whole news cycle. And oftentimes, no matter what the president may have done good the day before, he undoes it with a tweet.
He steps on his own message.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mac, who's calling from Central Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Mac?
Wow, they left the door in the asylum open today, didn't they? Just a couple of things. Number one, if you're going before the judge and you're being tried for something, you can't say, hey, 6 months ago, you let somebody go, or 6 months ago, this happened. The judge is going to say, this is your trial, and you can't go on what somebody else did to somebody else.
Amen, Great. Mac. Amen. There's no doubt about that.
Now, Mac, though, here it is. We know that Comey, and we're going to be talking about this up next, the Twitter war he's now engaged in with the president. We know that Comey wrote an exoneration letter for Hillary before the investigation of Hillary was completed. Don't you find that a bit odd, Mac?
I look at it this way. Each individual case is different, okay?
Yeah, but how do you write an exoneration letter for somebody?
I can answer that easily.
Because he
knew the scale of the evidence that he had in front of him. He knew that basically, perhaps, it was much ado about nothing. I know many of our listeners will disagree with that, but from a legal standpoint,
with
the FBI...
Dominic, how do you write an exoneration letter while your agents are in the midst of interviewing Hillary for the very first time?
But the bottom line is, you're being investigated right now, you're before the judge. And you can bring up all this stuff that he did to somebody else 6 months ago. You can say, judge, you made a mistake. Judge, you did this.
Well, you asked the judge to recuse himself.
No, he's going to point to you and say, listen, this is your trial.
Right, and then you have an appeal.
Has nothing to do with
right,
the previous.
But then you have an option for an appeal. If you think the judge was using double standards or should have recused himself because of a decision he had made previously in a similar trial, in which you felt now you were being prejudiced against, you have that option of an appeal. There's no option of an appeal about the investigation of Hillary Rodham Clinton by the FBI, who, again, why did Comey write an exoneration letter before his agents had even submitted their report about their sit-down they had with
Hillary? But again, Hillary Clinton is separate from Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the president of the United States, not Hillary Clinton.
What? To me, they were like two-headed monsters in this general election, hated by most Americans, right? It was sort of like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. That's why I did not vote for either one of them. I actually voted for myself, whereas others voted for independent candidates. Others actually did what I did, and they decided better to vote for yourself than vote for either one of those bozos. 1-800-848-WABC. Back to the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. And the Twitter tirade of our President Donald Trump continues as the former President Barack Obama advises him, chill out, think before you tweet.
And good advice.
Let's go to Johnny, who's calling from Dutchess County. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here at WABC. John.
Good morning, Curtis. I just want to also say, hope you're feeling better.
Oh, man. Oh, I am not. You know, I get an IV hopefully tonight at Columbia Presbyterian, so I'll be fed through IV until I get my operation next Wednesday. And actually, I'm looking forward to it.
So you haven't had anything to eat today?
A little bit of turkey, but that's what's caused me to have tremendous inflammation. But, hey, I'm looking forward to this, John. I really am.
I'm happy for you. I hope everything goes well. Anyway, I just want to say that, Trump, 80% of the things he says is acceptable, but there is that 20-30% where it's a knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, what's good about it is the media doesn't have a chance to alter it or take things out of context. But I wish you would tone it down a little bit. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, and he just seems to be getting more and more prolific with it. You know, it used to be just the mornings. Remember, it was just like he'd wake up at 5.
It's called pressure.
You think that's what's causing it?
I'd bet my life on it.
Now, John, do you think it's individual and autonomous what he does, or he's got a whole team of Twitter experts? Because we saw over the weekend one of his lawyers took the rap for the tweet that he sent out, saying, that's why I fired Lieutenant General Flynn, because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. But he hadn't even been interviewed by the FBI yet. And if you notice, all of a sudden a lawyer emerged of the many that he now has on his staff to protect him from the many inquiries, to say, oh, no, I sent that tweet. I fashioned that tweet.
How convenient.
Or do you think he was just taking the rap?
How convenient.
Well, you say that so sarcastically.
Of course. Do you really think that the lawyer, a lawyer of that caliber, would suggest a tweet like that to the president of the United States? Or do you think the lawyer is giving the president cover for legal liability that could be coming down the road for possible impeachment?
Wow, you're very conspiratorial today. Anyway, I know, must have been that pizza you had with your son in Fort Lee, New Jersey. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe. Joe, calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Giuseppe.
What's going on? I just wanted to say about tweeting about Hillary. All he's doing is pointing out how crooked this government is with the deep state, the Democrats, and the media, and half the Republicans, all on the side of the Democrats. Hypocrisy, double standards. Treasonous Obama. Treasonous
Okay, Hillary.
Joe, let me ask you this question,
because I don't get it. By focusing on Hillary Clinton, what does that have to do with Donald Trump?
Because they have her dead to rights, they won't do nothing.
Okay.
He didn't do nothing, but they want to go after him.
He didn't do nothing, huh?
It's all the media.
It's all the media.
It's all garbage.
Oh, okay. So even though a person in his inner circle has been indicted, four campaign officials are also under indictment. It's all the media. It's anybody else except for President Trump. Come on, give me a break.
It's all garbage. It's all bullshit media-driven garbage.
Wow, see, you can't even move this guy. This guy is one of those that Trump had spoken about. If he went out in the Fifth Avenue and he shot somebody right in the head, this guy would say he deserved it.
Right. So after the criminal justice system is done, are we still going to take the same line on President Trump after this is all over and done with?
Oh, of course. His hardcore Trumper and Trumphead supporters will always consistently believe that he was framed because he wanted to drain the swamp. And this was all a massive cabal.
So I guess the media hired General Flynn. I guess the media hired him as national security advisor.
No, that was a call made solely by Donald Trump.
And so the president is trying to throw this into the lap of
General Flynn.
Because nobody else believed in him when he was a candidate.
No, because he got fired by Barack Obama. So you understand, right. Everything was the anti-Obama. I want to show.
Right.
And let's face it.
But now he wants to dump Flynn in Obama's
lap. I know,
lap.
But let's face it. Lieutenant General Flynn's personality and charisma matched up to Trump. You know, most generals are very reserved. You know, if they were to speak in front of a crowd, you know, everybody would fall asleep. Lieutenant General Flynn had testosterone crashing through his cranium. So you know Trump. He's standing there waiting to be introduced by Flynn. This guy's good. Yeah, this is my consigliere here. He was fired by Obama. So not only that, but Lieutenant General Flynn probably fed the beast and told him, hey, look, I know where all the bones are buried and who buried them amongst the 17 different intelligence agencies, which he did.
Right. The same Flynn that's now cooperating and may end up biting the president of the United States.
Well, he's saving his tuchus and his son's tuchus. You know how cooperators are when they join Team America and eat the Parmesan cheese. Maybe he'll get a little nip in the tuck, you know, the same way Sammy the Bull Gravano did. He'll be installing pools in North Phoenix and maybe end up selling ecstasy and do a little bit of federal time, hard time. 1-800-848-WABC. But right now, let's get our news headlines with Deb Valentine.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
.136 with Dominic Carter in the house. And the president went eclectic about James Comey and the present condition of the FBI, saying it was in tatters, but that he is going to revive it. He is going to restore it to its glory days of of Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., because we know the president loves Stevie, so that we'll make that correlation, because he's not going to mention J. Edgar Hoover, and he's certainly not going to mention Mueller, who is his key inquisitor. But here is James Comey talking about the president and the ongoing battle of him being defamed and naturally him reaching out and going on the counterattack.
The administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
And then James Comey went on to describe their investigative procedures, especially when it reflected on the Hillary Rodham Clinton investigation and the Russian investigation towards the end of his career.
Our absolute primary concern was we can't infect the investigative team. We don't want the agents and analysts working on this to know the President of the United States has asked, and when it comes from the President, I took it as a direction, to get rid of this investigation because we're not going to follow that request.
So this really comes down to whether you believe our president, Donald Trump, or James Comey, the former FBI director, who now has his own active Twitter account. So it's war by Twitter. Comey says he was asked to drop the investigation of Flynn in that one-on-one meeting, remember, at the White House when all of a sudden Jeff Sessions, Kushner, and everyone conveniently just left the room. The president is completely denying that.
Okay, but let me put this to you. Why is the president of the United States of America, no matter who the individual might be, why are they meeting alone with the director of the FBI? Why? Would that appear kosher to you? Is that a good thing?
Well, we do know, okay, in the past, when you look at the person that we most think of when we think of the FBI, in fact, when you pass the building in D.C., you almost want to vomit because you see his name there, J. Edgar Hoover. That he would come into the White House, and he would sit with then-President JFK and RFK, the Attorney General.
But what, that was in the 60s?
No, I'm just saying, okay. You know, it's a historical fact, mm-hmm. and share information about Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, his rat, his cooperator, feeding him information, was the great black jurist Thurgood Marshall. That was his source of information. Thurgood Marshall was trying to take down Martin Luther King Jr. And
I don't know if I buy all of that. I've heard it before. I've heard that there was a tremendous rivalry between Justice Thurgood Marshall and Dr. King. I don't know. I wouldn't buy into anything that came from J. Edgar Hoover's FBI.
Assuming, let's hypothetically all of this happen.
Okay.
He says, I got the goods. Thurgood Marshall, you know, is our main lead on this.
Okay.
We've got tapes the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
Can we bug Martin Luther King Jr., his sex talk? And what did RFK and JFK say? Go for it. Because you would think, you know, they would be titillated by listening to that or having a vicarious interest in that. But what the hell did that have to do with the civil rights movement and whether it was being affected by communist sympathizers? Because that was the concern, you know, is that communist sympathizers, of which Martin Luther King Jr. acknowledged he was friendly to many on the far left, might actually be having a role in manipulating Martin Luther King, the leader of the civil rights movement at that time.
But here's the bottom line. When this president, Donald Trump, when he does good things, I will be the first one to point it out. But don't you see the common denominator here? Everyone else is lying. He's the one telling the truth, meaning if you believe the president, it becomes a he said, and the president would not be in this position if he did not have that meeting with Comey in the Oval Office. And what about the separation of powers? Why the president is already on record is saying that he wants to have more of a role with the Justice Department.
Yes.
That is downright scary.
Mm.
Every American should be afraid of that when any president articulates a position like that.
Well, who is the last president to have total control of his Justice Department? Richard Nixon. And that led to his demise. Because remember, he then utilized the CIA versus the FBI. The FBI held strong versus the CIA, which tried to basically say that the Democrats were in collusion with foreign agents and mind your own business. This is an international matter. We're dealing with it. The FBI needs to mind its own business. Thankfully, the FBI did not. Anyway, let's go to the phones. John, first up in the queue, calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Johnny?
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I don't like what Dominic said, that, you know, he's blinded Trump supporters about the whole Flynn thing. Listen, where's this thing going? It's going nowhere.
Are you sure about that, John? Are you willing to bet on that, John?
Dominic, you know, as you've been around, Curtis has been around, you can indict a ham sandwich
of course.
In this country. We all know that. And what he got indicted for is a minor infraction.
Really?
Why can't an incoming administration discuss
John, he was indicted because he's flipping on a higher up.
The FBI. What is he going to flip on? There's nothing there.
Okay,
it
remains to be seen what is there.
All right, but let me ask you this, John. Put aside Lieutenant General Flynn, because we know he had open conversations with Kislyak that were monitored by our own intelligence agencies that were listening to Kislyak. That's how they picked up Lieutenant General Flynn. But what about Kushner? We do know that he went to Kislyak and he said, I want to set up a secure line in the Russian embassy in Washington, D.C. so we can speak to the Putin administration in advance of Trump getting sworn in. Doesn't that trouble you, John, that you would be going to...
No, it doesn't.
Why?
Because, gentlemen, because an incoming administration has a right, a matter of fact, an obligation to consult.
Right. So you do it. You do it from leaders. You do it from the transition offices. Why would you go to the Russian embassy and allow them to provide the security so that nobody would ever know what your conversations were with the Russians?
They wanted to keep it confidential. I think you're reading into it. Listen, Trump...
I've never heard of anything like that.
Trump is a duly elected president.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Don't ever forget that. Millions and millions of people voted for him.
Hey, Richard Nixon swept George McGovern. George McGovern won one state. I think it was Massachusetts.
That.
He even lost South Dakota.
Is new to the job. He's only there a year. Let him have an opportunity. He's doing a great job. He's getting no respect. Nobody is speaking about the economy is going crazy. Real estate's up. Everybody's doing well. What did he do? This was GPS fusion opposition
okay.
research.
Okay, so why don't we just let the investigation take its course? If he didn't do anything wrong, that's ultimately out with this.
Well, that is unfortunately what's going to happen. But why should investigations happen? He was trapped.
You know why this one happened, John? This one happened because Trump fired Comey. That's why it happened. Yeah. There would never have been a special investigator if Trump had not fired Comey.
One last respectful point.
Sure.
Comey is a traitor. He's not a good person. He's not a... You don't go into meetings with the President of the United States and then take a memo, a personal note.
Okay, but John, you're missing the point. Why is the President of the United States meeting with the FBI director?
Why can't he? He appoints them.
Are you serious?
Administration.
If politics enters decisions that are made by the Justice Department, we are all in trouble. There's a reason why you have an attorney general. There's a reason why Preet. Wait, John, I'm going to let you have your say. But there's a reason why Preet Bharara, when Trump called him, Preet Bharara called back the Justice Department. Preet Bharara said himself, it's inappropriate for the President of the United States to reach out to me as a United States attorney.
Meantime, let's go to Russ, who's calling all the way from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Russ?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Russell.
I got a quick question for you guys. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm listening to you guys. Now, are you guys saying that because Hillary wasn't president, now that the investigations on her should, like, be thrown to the side?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm with Curtis. Perhaps she should be investigated. However, what the president is doing is a diversionary tactic. Don't look at me, look at Hillary. The fact of the matter is, Russell, he is the president of the United States. He must be held accountable. He must be responsible for all actions that have occurred on his watch.
Russell, I've taken the position there should be a separate special prosecutor specifically to probe into the allegations about Hillary's emails, her failure to cooperate, why the FBI was so lenient with her and her surrogates. I am into fully vetting that out. And even though it'll be an expensive proposition, it may take us a month of Sundays. I think for the average American out there who really is not either a Trump supporter or a Hillary supporter, they'll say that's fair. You know, let both investigations play their course out. Neither side will like it. Both sides will be objecting to it. But let it play out and let's see where the chips fall.
That's all I'm calling for. That's all I want to say. Because I was going to say, I mean, if you're saying that because Hillary didn't become president, all of a sudden we should forget about her. I was going to say, what happens if Boy George down there in Alabama doesn't get into Congress? Does that mean that we just drop all of the charges before that because he's not in Congress now?
Well, no, we're going to be discussing that up next, although I would add a third special prosecutor and go after Bush 43 as he paints, does his paintings down in Dallas for the war against Saddam Hussein as we still look for the weapons of mass destruction. What a debacle that was. So no matter what we say about Hillary and what we say about Trump,
but wait,
have either one done the damage that Bush 43 did to our world and our nation?
No. Didn't Colin Powell tell President Bush there were no weapons of mass destruction?
Not when he appeared before the General Assembly.
Right, but before that. Before that.
Well, he basically used the old analogy of the father, Bush 41. If you break it, we're going to have to put it back together again. And that was nothing that Bush 43 was prepared to do because he failed miserably. But when I'm looking at all three, who's done more damage to the United States? Who's done more damage to the world? All this craziness with ISIS, Al-Qaeda. I trace it to Bush 43. I don't blame Trump for that. I don't blame Hillary. Look, they have their faults. But nothing is comparable to the way Bush 43 left our nation and then on the brink of fiscal dissolution when the economy imploded in 2008. And remember, he was missing in action. You couldn't find him. He surfaced faster after the attack of 9/11 than he did after the fiscal implosion of 2008 by the crooks on Wall Street, none of whom have gone to jail for that. 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go with Dominic Carter in the house. First up in the queue is Eddie calling from the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, Eddie.
How you guys doing?
I've had better days.
Guys, listen, Dominic, I got to tell you, listening to you for about an hour now, this time last year, you were so pro-Trump. And the last couple of days, even last week, I heard in your voice, you're not liking this guy no more.
It's not a matter of whether or not I personally like President Trump. As I said before, Eddie, and I'm glad you're calling from the Bronx, my home borough. When the president does good things, I will be the first one to point it out. But as of late, the president of the United States is stepping on his own message. The investigation is getting closer and closer to him by the day. And the president can issue, Eddie, all the denials that he wants to. This investigation is not going away. And we're entering into uncharted territory where we don't know where this is going to end.
So is it that you're concerned like I am
Well, I look at it this way. I think all Americans should be concerned when something like this involves the president of the United States. But I don't have a personal interest in whether or not he succeeds or not, except for as a citizen of the country. So, Eddie, there'll be times when you'll listen when I will praise Trump and people will call up screaming bloody murder because I praise Donald Trump. But as of late, as of the last couple of months, there's no other way to say this except for the president is screwing up.
Well, let's go from one caller, Eddie in the Bronx, to Pete in the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, Petey.
What's up, Curtis? Absalam alaikum from the Bronx.
Yeah, halal listen, to you too.
Listen, when I was listening to the Italian Mafia, converted to Islam, and now at the ceremony, we got to say, Allahu Akbar, and blow ourselves up. But listen, I got one thing to say. What's his name? The new guy here, Dominic. You don't have to skew your thing towards Trump, because we know your people who are paying your advertisement, they're all liberals. So we know you got to be politically correct. We know you got to talk bad about Trump, but this is
really,
yeah,
really,
all these advertisements. If you badmouth, if you support Trump, you guys will have to probably go out with a cup on Times Square because all these liberals are all the same. But anyway, if Comey had done the right thing and they would have had a maxi trial like they had in Sicily and put all the gangsters away, Obama, Clinton, they'd all be in prison, okay, because they're all criminals. And Mueller, he's just a drunken Irish.
A drunken Irish guy, right? From Yonkers, grew up there in New Jersey. But you know something, Dominic? I know exactly where you can go with your cup in your hand. Right outside the New York Times building across from the Port Authority building. There are lots of liberals and progressives coming out of there. They'll throw some coin in your cup.
You know what I find amazing about this? When I say things that are positive about Trump, then I get it from the other side.
Yes, yes, you do.
And then I'm called an Uncle Tom and you know. So,
or as I've called you, a double-stuffed Oreo cookie.
Right. Double-stuffed Oreo cookie.
Yes, yes.
So wait, what part are you in that cookie? Are you on top
or the
bottom?
Outside. No, I'm always on top, pal. Remember, I'm not the catcher. I'm the pitcher in every way possible. Just get that straight. Boy, you're getting homoerotic on me here on WABC. But up next, guess what?
What?
He made a phone call this morning, the president, and it was to Judge Roy Moore. And it was to reassure him, you're my guy, Judge.
That's exactly my point of why he's screwing up.
We're a week away, December 12th, and the press says, I'm on board, Moore.
Curtis Lewa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Lewa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of the Drive at 5, Curtis Lewa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour or two. A lot of people don't know this. Dominic Carter is in the house today. But when the President Donald Trump was asked him what are his like 5-6 favorite songs, one of them he mentioned was Lady Gaga.
Really?
Yeah. Not this one, Telephone. I forget which one. It may have been Paparazzi or one of those classics. But we play the song because the president earlier today didn't just tweet out his support for Judge Roy Moore solidifying that. He actually picked up the phone, spoke directly to Judge Roy Moore, and told him, you're my boy. We're with you the whole nine yards with a week to go in that very contested election that will be decided the night of December 12th. We are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And let's go to the audio tape of the president just a week ago when he broke ranks with most of his Republicans and saying, we got to go with our guy, the Republican, and not the liberal progressive Democrat who's running to take that seat.
We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat, Jones. I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment.
And this was Judge Roy Moore a few days ago as he reappeared after being in hiatus for a while. Remember, it was his wife and women for Moore who were doing most of the campaigning and his surrogates. But he did reemerge in a Baptist church, and he was filled with fire and brimstone.
They tried unsuccessfully to change that. They've done everything. When I say they, who are they? They're liberals. They don't want conservative values. They're the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender who want to change our culture. They're socialists who want to change our way of life, putting man above God, and that government is our God. They're the Washington establishment that simply wants to keep their jobs, do the same thing, keep everything same so they don't lose their position, their power. and their prestige.
The polls say it's a neck-and-neck race with a week to go. But you see, here's the dilemma the Republicans have. We know
Just one dilemma?
No, just with Judge Roy Moore.
Okay.
We know the country club Republicans were going to be in opposition of him. Speaker Ryan in the House, and obviously Mitch, I love that Kentucky bourbon, McConnell. But Lee Zeldin, I wouldn't say he's a Tea Party guy out in Long Island, but he's not a country club Republican because with his fundraiser on December 14th for his reelection, it's Bannon who is hosting it. And that's caused him a lot of grief. He has the support of the Mercer family out there, which is very heavy Trump, very heavy support of Judge Roy Moore. And yet, this is what Lee Zeldin said just days ago. Quote, it's about that time for that creepy Roy Moore dude to exit stage left. He should step aside and let someone take his spot on the ballot who doesn't prey upon young teenage girls as a grown man, unquote. So here's Lee Zeldin, embraced by Bannon, embraced by the Mercer family, both of who are big supporters of Judge Roy Moore. Yet, when it comes to either sitting on the sideline and taking no position in this race or supporting Judge Roy Moore, is basically throwing down the gauntlet and saying, you might as well elect a Democrat, not the pedophile here. That's the dilemma that Republicans have here.
Well, clearly the White House has said, win at all costs. By the president's actions today, if you will, a full public endorsement of Roy Moore. What the White House and the National RNC has walked away from Moore in terms of raising money. But clearly what they're doing is they want to win. They want to keep the seat Republican. But then what happens after you win? What happens? Because you're stuck with this guy. And that's why you have the Lee Zeldins of the world from Long Island distancing themselves. What's going to happen with the president's agenda once you have this guy in the Senate? Is he going to be seated? The answer is probably yes. Will they take immediate action? Probably. Who knows? But no matter what happens, the National Republican Party is going to be stuck with Roy Moore that if he wins, and I believe he's going to win the day after the election.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to K-Man, first up in the queue, calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, K-Man.
Hey, how you doing today? I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
But I drive a lot of people from, I'm a limousine driver, and I drive a lot of people from all over the country. And this Judge Roy Moore thing, how can we actually have a pedophile in the Senate? It's going to be the downfall of the Republican Party. And I am a Republican, and I'm just ashamed of what's going on in our country. It's a horrible situation.
And that's exactly, K-Man, the point that I'm trying to make. The White House is all likelihood with this endorsement by the president is going to push Moore over the top. He's going to win. But are you really going to win after Republicans have this seat staying Republican? What's going to happen to the National Party, the brand?
Who knows? Maybe it'll go the way of the Whig Party. You know, it's just it's a horrible situation where our president endorses someone that could be a pedophile. Now, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. But so many people have come up against this guy. He has to just step aside. But that's not going to happen because our government at this point is moot.
Well, it's all about our pervs are better than your pervs. Because, look, Pelosi was in the same situation about John Conyers. And she immediately started babbling. He's an icon of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. He's not sexist, misogynist. And then all of a sudden, when others came forward from his staff previously to say he was a lech and a perv, she began to catch the heat from her fellow female congresswomen who were Democrats, like Rice in Long Island. And I think, I forget where the other female legislator was from. It may have been California. Anyway, let's go to Danny, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Dan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We keep having the same discussion again. I would say this about Mr. Zeldin's position. All politics are local, and Mr. Zeldin has nothing to gain by supporting him down in Alabama. He's not going to sway a single vote of an Alabama person saying, oh, Lee Zeldin on the North Shore of Long Island is supporting Judge Moore. But if he was to go ahead and support him, well, then that's ammunition for some people on the North Shore of Long Island to go against Lee Zeldin next time, who won a very tight race. So all politics is local, and Lee Zeldin has come out against him, probably for his own survival. And as we said, as I said about four times, let the people of Alabama decide. I can't imagine that the people in Alabama on talk radio are worrying about Lee Zeldin or anyone else in New York. And this is taking up an abundance of our time when we could be talking about some of our own problems we have here in New York. Let the people of Alabama decide.
Well,
if he's like the last caller said, everybody's entitled to
vote. But Danny, we have somebody from Bama right here, our producer, our phone screener, the invader, as a hipster millennial that he is, Justin B. Love, who has been keeping his fingers on the pulse with all of your friends, associates, and colleagues, because you have many who are in talk radio there where you made your bones and obviously throughout the media. What's your sense? We're a week out. This open public endorsement with a phone call earlier today from the president to Judge Roy Moore, is that the differential?
No, I don't really think it'll do much. Remember, Trump endorsed Luther Strange in the runoff, and Moore still won. But again, that was all local political corruption they were voting against. The thing is, Alabamians do not like, they don't like being told what to do. They like to make their own decisions, and they have an inherent distrust of any media that's not Fox News or talk radio or what they deem to be the MSM, the mainstream media. So it's a very tight race, but right now, my sense is telling me, I thought Moore was going to lose 2 weeks ago. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win by maybe 4 or 5 points, because you can add 5 points to any poll
now,
to Roy Moore.
What's a more important issue to the resident in Alabama, regardless of their party registration? Abortion or whether Judge Roy Moore is a perv?
Abortion, because you cannot prove, I mean, that Roy Moore molested underage girls. There's accusations. I mean, yeah, if the yearbook signature is his, I guess you can prove it that way, but there's no hard evidence that's going to tell these 55-year-old women and men that Roy Moore actually molested a 14-year-old kid. So in their eyes, even if he may have done that, he didn't kill a baby, which is what they think Doug Jones will do if he allows abortion after 20 weeks.
Now, a final question on all of that. The stigma of the old Southern stereotype, you know, hillbillies going after kids, you know, from the cradle before they even hit the grave. This just feeds the beast. How do you live with this? Living in this environment in New York City, the moment people find out you're from Alabama, you must be under siege.
Well, I kind of feel like, I guess how like Dominic does every time Black Lives Matter does something. I'm like, I don't answer for all conservative Alabama.
Thank you, Justin.
I only answer for myself. And that's, I mean, I moved. So I don't live in Alabama anymore, but I am an Alabamian. And I'm proud to be from Alabama, but I just, right now, I shake my head in shame.
Now, has your dad or mom indicated how they're going to vote in this election?
They will not. They hate Roy Moore, and they are Protestant Christian evangelicals, and they've never liked Roy Moore. They always thought he was a liar, so they just will not vote.
So they won't vote for the Democrat either, Jones.
No, they'll just stay home, which I think a lot of people will do, but I still give the election to Moore.
Do appreciate that. That is our fellow Alabamian here.
So now you know how I feel every time you ask me about Black Lives Matter.
Oh, and I'll keep asking you about Black Lives Matter and your very dear Kumbadi Cheech, Al Slim Shady Sharpton.
Or Al Sharpton.
Whose roots are in Alabama. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
The theme song for Judge Roy Moore, sung by Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, who married his cousin, his first cousin at 13, and said, screw all the rest of you, that's what we do down here in the South. At the same time that Elvis, in nearby Mississippi, at the height of his rock and roll career, was snacking on 14-year-old girls. Now, that was then, 50s and 60s. You would have think that people's thought processes have evolved. But then again, I'm thinking to myself, remember Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina? Remember, he like lived to 100. He was the Dixiecrat who ran for president because he was opposed to the civil rights movement, lost. Then he decided to convert, become a Republican. Then remember when he was in the Senate, they'd always have an aide with a defibrillator with him in case he dropped right there. And he was a lech. He would constantly grab women's tuchuses. Remember, he was like the first big tuchus grabber in the Senate. And people would say, oh, that's just Strom being Strom. You know, he's like close to 100 years old, older than Bush 41. The other guy we've learned is a tuchus grabber. You remember Strom Thurmond?
Yes, of course I do.
So with Judge Roy Moore, if he gets elected and goes through the Ethics Commission, huh, what a joke that is, and gets seated. You know, if I were a Democrat, I'd want him to get elected. Because then he becomes my poster child for the Republican Party. And he's apt to do wacky things in the Senate, just like Strom Thurmond did.
Well, why do you say that? Why do you say he's apt to do wacky things? I mean,
because he will say things that are so extreme that it will sort of picture the Republicans as being like Judge Roy Moore. And the Democrats naturally want to create that picture. So
I don't know about that. He's, in my opinion, if he wins, he's going to do a Senator Menendez win and then go underground, and nobody will find him for weeks to come after that.
You really think this guy's going underground? No way. Meantime, remember what the president had to say about the charges against Judge Roy Moore.
He denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also. You're talking about, he said 40 years ago, this did not happen.
40 years ago, he said this didn't happen. The president has said it didn't happen with all the women who charged him with being a perv. So I guess it's almost like brothers in solidarity on this.
Almost. And clearly what the folks at the Moore campaign are setting up, that should he win, and I believe he's going to win, that there'll be no case for expulsion should the Senate go forward with it.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Richard calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Richie Rich.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Curtis. I love you two guys. But the gentleman who just called in and said his parents are not going to vote, that's terrible. People died for the right. You get out there, you vote, you write your own name in, Mickey Mouse, I don't care, but protect the process.
Yeah, so Justin B. Love, his parents, to you, they're a double Shonda, a double Udiscrazia, right?
You get out there and vote, Curtis. I don't care who you write in. You protect the process that people gave their lives for.
Now, what about, in true Southern tradition, because, you know, down in the South, they believe the South will rise again. Imagine if they wrote in Jeff Davis, his name, or Robert E. Lee, or Stonewall Jackson, which is something, or George Wallace, you know, who's the hero of Alabama.
So we subjugate their right to vote?
No, I'm just suggesting that would clearly be like a protest vote. You imagine all of a sudden you're writing in Jeff Davis. I could see Justin B. Love's parents doing that. They probably have a big picture of Jeff Davis there in the living room where they see, you know, if only Robert E. Lee hadn't given up his sword in Appomattox, Jeff Davis could have been president
States. But I think the people of Alabama, I agree with one of our callers, all politics are local. Mm. And the more that the media focuses on this, the more they're going to vote for Roy Moore. But I think that, Justin, the good folks of Alabama should think long and hard about what they're about to do, because this is going to be a stain on the state of Alabama that they will not be able to remove for some time.
You know what would guarantee Judge Roy Moore's election?
What?
If your Kumbadachich, Al Slim Shady Sharpton, whose family's roots are in Alabama.
Wait. What? I wanted to ask you this. You call Governor Cuomo evil eyes. I don't understand why you still do that, because the Governor Cuomo is more measured these days.
I know, but look at his eyes, man. When he stares into that camera lens, it's like evil. It's evil
and
incarnate.
And you call Sharpton what?
Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network, whose roots are in Alabama. I actually sat next to his stepbrother at one of his National Action Hate Network rallies.
Why do you call it the Hate Network?
Well, because they're hating everything white. Unless, you know, you come up with the scatol. You buy a table at their annual dinner, then you're all right. If you got the green in between, you're a good white boy. If you ain't, They ain't got no play for you. You know that.
You do know that there are plenty of white folks that attend his rallies on Saturdays.
Well, yeah, because they want to buy civil rights insurance. They own businesses and such, and naturally they got to pay.
What the hell is civil rights insurance?
Well, what Al Slim Shady Sharpton does is he goes to vendors, he goes to individuals who run corporations, and he says, you need civil rights insurance. And they say, why? I have no problems here. He said, you will have problems after I end up talking to your workers. No justice, no peace. So make a contribution.
So you're saying that's why he's on the board now, I think, of Coca-Cola and...
Of course, because his complexion is his protection.
So you're saying to me that Coca-Cola, I think it's Coca-Cola, maybe it was Pepsi.
It was Comcast.
That they, and Comcast as well. No, those are separate ones. That they will put Reverend Sharpton and others on the board just for what you said, racial insurance?
Well, especially Al Slim Shady Sharpton. He learned from the master, Jesse Jackson, of Operation Rainbow, Operation Breadbasket, you know, Over the Rainbow. It's exactly what Jesse Jackson did, hey.
Over the rainbow?
Yeah, over the rainbow, because he's really over the rainbow. Anyway, up next, we're going to talk about how your office parties are going to be dry. Get ready for prohibition, because bosses and corporate executives, in the light of all these sexual harassment charges, are saying that's the one day of the year when everyone gets loosey and goosey under the mistletoe. So get ready for a dry Christmas party. But first, let's get our news headlines from Deb Valentine.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
So if I gotta die, I'm gonna listen to my body tonight.
Raspberry Beret, Prince, the artist, whatever. No longer on this plane, but this became a classic call for others to party hardy. And normally in the Christmas holiday season, at a lot of corporate offices, people look forward to the Christmas party because that's when they can get very loosey and very goosey. The booze flows, the mistletoes are everywhere. And so if you were thinking of snacking on somebody, it's the perfect time to sort of let down your guard and see if everything will go. Well, this year, because of all the sexual harassment charges against guys from coast to coast, from Hollyweird to the halls of the House and the U.S. Senate and everywhere in between, including the impresario of the New York City Opera House, right? What a perv he turned out to be. Corporate officials are now saying, if you're going to come and party in our corporation this particular holiday season, be prepared for it to be dry. Fruit juice, water, you know, water flat, water with fritz. But don't expect any alcohol, beer, wine, sangria, hard liquor to be served at all, because that'll be sort of like the fuel that may sort of get the tiger in your belly to suddenly respond, and we're not interested in being responsible for any more sexual harassment charges that normally would take place in the office.
Those parties are a thing of the past. You can forget that. It's a wrap. Put yourself in the shoes of corporate CEOs and companies. Do you want to be sued for the party? Let's face it. When things happen, generally, this is when they start at the holiday parties.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, what's Sanford Rubinstein? You mentioned Sharpton. That's how he got in trouble at a party of Sharpton's organization.
That's right. The National Action Hate Network, the ambulance chaser, Sanford Rubinstein, who was his number one go-to lawyer.
He was accused of rape.
Right. Rape of one of the National Action Network female officials.
Right.
And then we found out this guy was a real dog, man. He is going after everybody in a skirt, black, white, and every shade in between, whether they were 92 or 12.
Well, I'm going to leave that part alone.
Well, you know, that was the allegation.
I'm going to leave that part alone. But, of course, that was the allegation. These things don't just happen. Everyone knows what's going on if you're somewhat familiar with the organization. But, for example, if you and I had a company, right?
Yes.
We own a company. Are we going to throw a regular holiday party the way we used to, with as much as you can drink, to go with the Christmas bonuses and so on?
Let's find out from our many listeners out there if, in fact, the old traditional Christmas party is taking place at your place of business, or if all of a sudden you're going to have to be a prohibitionist and it's going to take you 3 days to get up enough moisture in your mouth to spit, because it'll be a no-alcohol, no-dance party. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Well, you can dance. You can dance.
Oh, no, they're even restricting that.
You can't dance?
They're restricting that because they feel that's between the balance of two individuals getting very close, you know, on the dance floor. In fact, it was brought to my attention earlier today, right when they passed over the microphone to us, both Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg, and their producer, Jill Vitale, a.k.a. Flirty Flipper. They said, Curtis, you realize your previous behavior at Christmas parties now would be considered open sexual harassment, the way you would take to the dance floor. Well, the way I would dance, yeah, with the urge to merge, yeah, the slow dance, the grind. There's no doubt about it. In this hostile atmosphere where everything is looked under an electron microscope, no, you would not be able to get this close and dance as close as I typically would get with women who wanted to dance with me at Christmas parties. That would be verboten. That would not be tolerated.
Well, what type of dancing are you doing?
Well, no longer. As you know, I'm going to be sidelined. I think our Christmas party is on the 15th. I'll be in the hospital as of the 13th getting operated on, so there'll be no partying for me. But they're right, because of what has happened out there. And I'm interested in finding out from all of you, are things going to be different in your holiday season in terms of get-togethers, family occasions, and more importantly, corporate soirees? And if this has even affected what you do in business, when you go on business trips, when you travel, when you're booking rooms.
Have you found yourself acting differently in the office?
Yes.
Because I've found myself acting differently.
Absolutely.
You know, be careful with the comments that you look very nice, you know.
Absolutely.
No more hugging, you know.
Oh, no. That's a no-no. So I know that it's affected a lot of men and women who normally wouldn't have thought twice about exchanging gratuities and pleasantries and hugging and kissing on the cheeks or whatever. But now all of a sudden you notice there's a refrain. I notice that the chatter in the hallway is a lot different. It's not sexually tinged at times. And especially a lot of the guys, they look around before they say anything to fellow guys because they don't want to be within earshot of women who may suddenly feel that their rights are being violated, you know, their space is being violated, and then immediately they're going to go to HR and they're going to launch a complaint.
So it's a new day.
And in many respects, for the better. You know, it's going to have to balance out over time. It may be a little excessive, but I'm finding that, you know, in the past it's been really excessive. You know, guys really took too many liberties. You know, they would see a mistletoe, and right away they would grab the woman and kiss her. And I remember here at the old WABC, a lot of the women would pull back from the guy and say, "What'd you do that for?" And the guy would say, "I'm not going to mention his name." He'd say, "Well, you were right under the mistletoe. You shouldn't have been standing under the mistletoe." Could you imagine if a guy would act in that manner nowadays?
No. Because the moment you get a call from HR to come upstairs or come into HR, you already know it's a wrap.
And then also, it's not just the basic party, but there are also the after parties. In all these corporate gatherings and all these business parties, there's always one ringleader who says, "Hey, we got an after party at the bar downstairs or at the hotel down the block or wherever it is." And then that's when things really can get crazy.
Did you go to those in the past? I always tried to avoid those.
Oh, yeah. No, I went.
You went.
Oh, yeah, because I was a dance master. I was like a whirling dervish. You know, if you wanted to dance with me, I was ready to get down and do it. But you could not.
That's when the black part of you comes out.
Black, white, every shade in between, every part of my male testosterone being came out. And there wasn't anybody looking at it in a negative sense. Although now you'd imagine your bosses are there. They'd be looking at you and saying, you know, almost like if you were going to an Amish dance. You better have space between your in Catholic school when we would have the dances and, you know, the girls' schools would be visiting. And then all of a sudden, the priests, the brothers, the nuns, and the lay teachers would be looking at you and say, "A little too close to handle. Unless you want to go to Jug, Justice Under God, for the next week.
I remember those when I attended Cardinal Hayes, and they would have the girls' school visit for the dances.
Like the sock hops.
Right.
They'd have the sock hops, but they would scrutinize you.
And the priest would look at you like, you're a little too close there. Back up.
At you. They'd want to smell your breath to make sure you hadn't been imbibing, drinking alcohol. And they would dog you, you know, particularly if you try to go back door with a girl. Then all of a sudden, Sister Carmen Cita was staring at you saying, and where do you think you're going with that young lady at this moment? Back inside. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. So what precautions do you take now that you would never have thought of taking? Because you've worked in newsrooms. Geraldo Rivera was saying it's a flirty atmosphere. You know, it's something you almost can't avoid. What have you perceived of as being the difference now, Dominic?
Well, for example, throughout the years, working with numerous female producers and so on, you know, you people would hug me. I guess they say I'm a teddy bear, whatever, they would hug me. And my new thing is, whoa, 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 you know, no more hugging, you know. Oh, Dominic, stop taking this so seriously. But I'm serious about it because I don't want to get a call from HR. I don't want anything to be perceived as he took it a step too far.
Now, what about amongst some of your fellow colleagues? Have you noticed that they've also been a bit standoffish, that they're not as gregarious, they're not as flirtatious as they used to be?
See, what's not being talked about in this entire television news scenario, you spend so many hours working together, 10, 14, 16, 18-hour days sometimes, and it is, to a small degree, a natural, flirty type environment. Female producers, they, to be honest with you, if you're a high profile person in the world of politics, they want to be around you. They want to go to the mayor's residence to have dinner when the mayor invites you over. They want to go to the governor's events when the governor invites you over. And so it's there are many ways to look at this, but it's a whole new day. And that's the bottom line.
Let's go to our phones. 1-800-848-WABC. Up first in the queue is Gene calling from Matzah Pizza, better known as Massapequa, Long Island. Welcome to WABC, Gene.
Hi, Curtis. I just got one point to make. All of these predators were sober at work. They weren't drinking at office Christmas parties. And these weren't things that were happening other than Weinstein, who was an absolute predator. The rest of this stuff happened sober at work. These were guys on power kicks.
This is true.
There was no alcohol involved with this for these Christmas parties.
I know, but you understand, for every action, there's an overreaction, and the blowback is going to come during these holiday parties. I guarantee you, you're going to get somebody like Sid Rosenberg, who's probably going to show up, you know, and he'll have a little pint, and he'll probably try to put it in the fruit punch. And I guarantee you that our boss of all bosses, the Capo di Tutti, Chad Lopez, will be the taster that day of the fruit punch to make sure there is no alcohol being served. And yet before that,
anybody that's predetermined will already have the alcohol planned out in their heads, whether they got to bring their own airport bottles or they're going to have to pay over the counter. I.e., they're going to have cash bars.
Yeah, but you see, it's like years ago, the bosses would have been like when Barack Obama was first elected, remember? And he bartended at the White House when he invited all the senators and House members over because he wanted to befriend them. And he was like serving them up drinks. The bosses used to ply you with drinks. They're not going to be doing that anymore. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to George, who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to Dominic Carter and courtesy at WABC, George.
Hey, what's up? First time caller.
Hi, George.
How you doing?
Yes, George.
Yes, this is Curtis. Kobe, who's this?
Oh, no, this is Curtis and Dominic Carter here.
I'm listening. Listen, I have to tell you that this didn't just come out, okay? I had this happen to me. I worked for Verizon for many years, and I was outside for 35 years. My biggest mistake in my life was to go inside, because the men get chastised. If you got any kind of looks and any kind of brain, you got to shut up and get in the corner, because they come out with this. They come out with, he said this, he looked at this, he looked at that. There was one woman in there that was after me for like 4 years, and I virtually said 5 words to her in 4 years. Not even good morning. I had to work with her. She went to Human Resources, cooked up a whole pot of steam stew, and you know what I'm talking about.
So you're saying she set you up because you wouldn't give her any play?
She set me up because I wouldn't even talk to her, because I know what kind of person she was. She did it to other people.
And no matter how much you said that, nobody listened to you?
Nobody listened. They knew she was a nut job, but because she was a nut job and had a, she had masters. Supposedly she had master's degrees in sociology and stuff like that, but she was a nut job. The woman, if she starts a sentence with so, I guess, since, and there was one other word, then you know you got to turn around and walk away, because that's an argumentative statement that she's going
to
start.
And so what happened to you? What happened was I couldn't
get back outside, so I just retired after 40 years because I don't want to deal with the animal. Then there was another one who used to smoke in the office, and in the switching office, very delicate electronic stuff, and she used to smoke, and nobody did anything to her because they were afraid she was going to do the sexual harassment thing on her.
Ah, interesting. Little HR. Little vengeance to HR. Yeah, I could easily see if women have had it in for you because you either dissed them, dismissed them, or ignored them. They might seek vengeance through HR.
Right, but if you didn't look at them too hard or stare down in an area where you shouldn't be staring down, then there's nothing HR can do, so you basically put yourself in that situation.
Well, that's why you'd have to show them documentation that you were having saltpeter, potassium nitrate in your Cheerios every morning, and that it would be impossible, like I told you at the start of the show.
Flaccid?
Better to be flaccid than turgid. 1-800-848-WABC. Dominic Carter, all of you who love to be able to see him doing his broadcasts every night, if you have Fios One on RNN, you can catch him Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 doing his newscasts and his commentary. And no doubt, you'll be talking about what will you be focused on tonight? How you're going to go off to Punta Cana with your very dear friend Bobby Menendez and have a Feliz Navidad party?
You look great. You look great.
I feel horrible.
Really?
And just remember one thing. If I drop, do not lip lock me and give me CPR. I would rather die and go straight to hell.